Well, we finally have a warm day. I think we've had 2 days in a row without rain. It's coming tomorrow. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Well, the lesson today is titled The Baptism of the Holy Spirit, Pentecost. So must mean it's Pentecost Sunday. So 50 days after Passover. So whenever we think of the Holy Spirit, I think of it as the Bible says the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and that the Holy Spirit will bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And whenever we are reassessing our life and what it means and what happens to us and the difficulties that we face and all those types of things, challenges that we have, well, the Holy Spirit is the one who is there to guide us and also to reveal the truth of God's word to our life so that what we are experiencing, we can put it in context of God works all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So the Holy Spirit is the one that's going to, he's the third person of the Trinity, that is going to encourage us. He's going to make the word alive, real, bring back to our remembrance the things that we have studied. So that the work of the Spirit is more than just doing something to us. The Holy Spirit is the one who works in us and through us. So whenever we think about praying, and the Holy Spirit can pray through us, we know that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is part of our lesson today, in Acts chapter 2, that the Holy Spirit will pray through us in ways that we don't even know. The Holy Spirit is going to he intercedes for us before the Father. So we have all these things that are part of the third person of the Trinity, and whenever we start seeing how that God is at work in our life, it's the work of the Holy Spirit. So, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. That's John chapter 16, verse 13. So, what makes things right is that the Holy Spirit helps us to see things beyond what we're experiencing, that God has a purpose. Well, I don't know what the purpose is. Doesn't matter. God has a purpose, and the Spirit will help us understand that he is in charge, that God is working in our life. So we find that in the lesson today, we find that there are individuals, some of them, many of them are timid, backward, as they were on the day of Pentecost, Peter becoming the primary spokesman. Peter is this, brawlish fisherman that Jesus is teaching and training, but the Holy Spirit comes and Peter now has a whole new perspective, a new revelation of what Jesus had come to do. And when Jesus died and so on, Peter, he denied Christ and his world was shattered. The disciples, their world was shattered. But seeing Jesus alive, everything changes. But how does it change? How does the world change knowing that Jesus is alive? What do we do next? Well, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said to tarry, wait in Jerusalem until you are endued, that you are immersed in, baptized in, the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit then comes on the day of Pentecost, and there is this revelation that God, through Christ, has come to save the world. And that the purpose for what Jesus had been teaching and training Peter and the other disciples for, and the other followers, what he had been training them for, now begins to fit together. Now begins to they begin to see what, you know, my kingdom is not of this world, you know, Jesus is saying to the disciples. Well, you know, they're still, well, who's going to sit on your right hand and on your left? So when the Holy Spirit comes, Peter and the disciples and all of them begin now to understand it's not about sitting on Christ's right hand or left. It's about being and serving God and bringing people to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and that he is a risen Savior. And in the early church, that's basically the doctrine that was being taught, that Jesus is alive and he is risen from the dead. And that's the whole focus of what the early church was about, that Jesus is alive and he's risen from the dead. And to believe in Christ is to believe that the sacrifice was made by God once and for all, so that the sacrifices in the Old Testament in the temples are no longer necessary. And so the Holy Spirit was making this real to Peter and the other disciples and the other followers of Jesus. And of course to Paul, Saul of Tarsus, on the road to Damascus, the Holy Spirit, you know, Jesus, he met Jesus, and you know, Paul was just overwhelmed. You know, he, you know, Christ and comes to him, and you know, and the Holy Spirit then becomes his teacher. So as we look at Peter and on the day of Pentecost, you know, this is an uneducated man standing up and proclaiming the message of God, like a rabbi, like someone who has been trained in the religious school. And Peter's standing up and he's making this declaration because all the pieces began to fall together. And the Holy Spirit brought it together. Peter had all these pieces of the puzzle, but the Holy Spirit gave Peter the ability to see all these pieces coming together and understanding, oh, this is what it's about. The aha moment. So I think the Holy Spirit helps us to come to that realization, that aha moment that, oh, God, you are in charge. God, you are working this out in my life. God, you are opening doors and you are changing people. You are, so, doing all this. Well, we have in Luke, Gospel, and being assembled together, this is Acts chapter 4, excuse me, Acts chapter 1, and it goes 4 to 8, and then verses 4 and 5. It's interesting how that they, well, anyhow, we'll go on. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So Jesus, in his final meeting with the disciples and his followers, he's risen from the dead. They want to know when he's coming back again to set up his kingdom. And he said, it's not yet, guys. So I want you to go to Jerusalem, and I want you to wait there. So 40 days, Jesus, so they waited in Jerusalem at least 10 days. So I want you to go to Jerusalem and you wait there until the Holy Spirit comes. So they were there in the upper room for 10 days, waiting. Now, what they were doing at that time, I'm hoping, or I may, you know, our perception is that they were in prayer and they were, you know, waiting on God and, you know, praying and looking for Jesus to return, you know, because Jesus was, he had come to them, appeared to them in closed doors, behind closed doors, had appeared to him. So perhaps they're waiting for God to come back in this manner. He's going to come like that and speak to them and appear in their midst, and they are supposed to tarry there. And we know that there were 120 in this upper room, but we don't know how many started out in the upper room. May have been more, maybe not. Well, Luke records the final meeting of Jesus, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. So it's interesting the analogy or the use of words that Jesus says that John the Baptist, he baptized you with water. Now, it's our understanding that in the Old Testament, baptism was not a new thing with John the Baptist. Baptism by immersion in water was part of the Jewish tradition when Gentiles converted to Judaism, that they would take them and baptize them in water for repentance. So when John the Baptist comes along, his goal is to baptize people unto repentance. And so he is baptizing them in water. Now, it's an immersion. So whenever Jesus says that you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, he's saying you're going to be immersed in the presence of God. You're going to be immersed in the Holy Spirit. So it's not only going to be this outward, you know, whenever you get in the water, you get wet. Anybody been in the water and not get wet? Yeah. So anyhow, you become immersed. Well, the Holy Spirit here in this case, he not only is going to immerse you outwardly, but he's going to immerse you inwardly. That your spirit is going to be immersed and your body's going to be immersed in the presence of God. So, and when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore your kingdom? So they're still waiting for Jesus to establish his kingdom, which is, like David, kingdom of Israel, drive out the Romans, and so on. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons. You're not going to know everything. But you're going to know enough that you're going to be safe in who you are and in your relationship with me. But it's not for you to know the times or the season which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, has come upon you. So, receiving divine power. Right? Receiving divine power. So, whenever the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we are receptive of divine power. What does that divine power look like? How does it manifest itself? Well, we have here that there is the outward manifestation of speaking in tongues, that there is this heavenly language that God gives to you, and we know that it was different because we have the witness of the people who are in the upper room speaking in a language that they didn't know. And they were speaking to, and at the Feast of Pentecost, there were people, Jews from all over the then known world. They were in Jerusalem for this celebration. And here are these Galileans and people in Jerusalem are speaking the gospel message to these people of other countries, and they're understanding them. And they're understanding them. And these people who are speaking never spoke the language. So there is something going on, and the work of the Holy Spirit is to, for the salvation of sinners, you know, it's for how that God is going to manifest himself to people who are lost. So the power of the Holy Spirit is upon us to do our work of service as a way of ministering to one another, but also ministering to the lost, people who don't know Christ. And so we see all of this going on, and you shall receive power. Now, the power, what is the power? There again, how does the power, I always say, what does it look like? How does it manifest itself? Well, the power of the Holy Spirit is manifest in many different ways. When Jesus broke bread and fed 5,000, that was that's the fullness of the Spirit operating in Jesus' life. When he raised the dead, when he prayed for the sick, he opened the blinded eyes. He, you know, this is the work of the Holy Spirit in Jesus. So whenever we see Jesus performing miracles, it isn't, and sometimes we, you know, get it a little skewed. Jesus is the Son of God. He is divine. But Jesus gave up his divinity to become human. So he gave up all of those things that made him God, but he still is God, but he gave up all those things. And what he became is the perfect vessel for the Holy Spirit to work through. So the perfect vessel for Jesus and for the Holy Spirit to work through is Christ. And so that's why Jesus is, he came. I come not to do my own will, but the will of the Father. So who is helping him become or do the will of the Father? Who is helping us do the will of the Father? Everything, what are you going to ask that's impossible? Jesus didn't doubt the power of the Father, nor the power of the Holy Spirit. There was nothing that he knew what people were thinking and saying, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. He knew what a lost individual needed in their life. You know, he was able to speak to their need. He was able to do what was necessary to, as it were, to bring the crowd and preach the word. So in our life, the Holy Spirit is able to help us, bring us to places where the Holy Spirit will help us do the work of God. So we're doing the work of God. So the Holy Spirit, like Jesus, is our advocate with the Father because he maketh intercession according to his will. We are encouraged to pray in the Spirit, since the Holy Spirit knows what our weaknesses are and what we should be praying for. So whenever we don't know how to pray, we ask the Holy Spirit to help us to pray. You know, I just don't know what to pray for there are certain people I know, I don't know how to pray for them. So God, you got to help me pray for them. So in this scenario, so we're asking God to help us to pray for them. The Spirit knows the thoughts of God and searches the deep things of God, then gives us discernment to understand the spiritual revelation he provides for us. So what we know of God, the correct knowledge of God, what we know of God, the Holy Spirit taught us. What we know of God, the Holy Spirit has taught us. And what's going on is that the Holy Spirit is continuing to teach us. See, we haven't arrived. We will never arrive where we don't need to know more. The Holy Spirit is going to teach us and to encourage us to reveal the secrets of God. And what are the hidden secrets of God? Look out at the sparrow and it's flying around and it's like, you know what? God will take care of me just as much as he takes care of the sparrow. What a revelation. That sparrow can't fall to the ground without God knowing it. He knows the very hair of my head. Wow, am I safe? See, those, you know, it isn't, sometimes it's not this great intellectual discernment of things of the universe. It's the everyday care of the divine in our life. And that's the Holy Spirit speaking to us. And so not only does the Holy Spirit bestow the fruit of the Spirit and administer the gifts of the Spirit, but righteousness, peace, and joy, as well as hope, wisdom, and spiritual knowledge, as well as power, love, and of a sound mind. I won't explain that. Sound mind. Sound mind means quieted mind. You know, it doesn't mean, never mind. All right, so chapter 2, verse 1, and a couple more minutes here. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. When the fullness of time, it's interesting that God had a plan. You know, Jesus came at the appointed time. He began his ministry at the appointed time. He died at the appointed time, Passover, the lamb, sacrificial lamb. He rose from the dead at the appointed time. He ascended into heaven at the appointed time. And the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost at the appointed time. God has a divine timing. The Holy Spirit helps us to be patient, to be at peace, to know that God is at work in our life and in the world around us, and that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can take God from us. So what we're going through is, this is the work of the Holy Spirit to help us know the Scripture, because knowing the Scripture is to know Jesus. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So whenever I am quoting the Word, you know, I will never leave you nor forsake you, we are quoting, as it were, the thoughts of Jesus. We are quoting Jesus and his quote to our life, and the Holy Spirit makes that personable. You know, if you're talking to someone, you put your arm around them and says, well, I'm here for you, okay? That is a personal touch with a personal word. Well, the Holy Spirit is the personal touch of the living Word, Jesus Christ, to our life. And he never goes away. Like, you know, put your arm around somebody, I'm here for you, and then you take your arm off and go away. Well, the Holy Spirit, God, never, ever, ever does that. Can't go away. He can't go away. Why? Because he's ever present. What else? Well, verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. So whenever the Holy Spirit came, whenever God introduces something, you know, when Jesus was born, what happened? You know, star in the sky, the angels, declaration to the shepherds, to the wise men, and there's this declaration, you know, everything changes. Well, on Pentecost, there was a sound from heaven. The sound was like, okay? Now, what does it feel like to not have any rain? It is like sunshine. It is like warmth, okay? So what was it like on the day of Pentecost? What was it like for those people in that upper room? It sounded like, you been in a tornado? You ever heard? I never been in one, but you hear the sounds. Sounds like, they said, it sounds like a freight train coming. Well, it sounds like, he sounded like rushing mighty wind, just roaring into the room, but there was no wind. Didn't blow them over. It sounded like this mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where we were sitting. This wind and roaring of the wind just as it were, circulating in there, but there was nothing circulating. It was a sound of. And then there appeared unto them cloven tongues that like as a fire. There was like a fire that sat upon them. So there is this wind that's not a wind. And there is this fire that is visible, but it's not burning. There's no heat from it. And it was a fire that sat upon each one. Now, are they there shivering and shaking? Or were they, whoa, and then receiving? Baptism in water is, you know, it's as if this pool of water just comes down over top of you and doesn't splash out. It's this water comes down while the Holy Spirit comes down upon them. Comes, you know, just kind of like this fire that is burning but not consuming. It is a fire that you can look and see, but people aren't dying and screaming in the fire. It is a fire of God, and this is what it looks like. Sounds like wind. Feels like, it looks like fire. And it sat upon each of them. Just didn't come. It came and sat there. All right? The most powerful force in all the world. Because it was by the Spirit, Moses, you know, struck the Red Sea. It didn't appear like the sea opened. The sea opened. God spoke the world into existence. So the Holy Spirit is this overfilling them, covering them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Spirit came upon them, not only, as it were, wet them on the outside, it consumed them inside. And the consuming of that Spirit in, you know, coming over them, they began to praise God in a way that they had never praised him before, in a language that they never knew. We say, okay, this gets a little scary now. But the people outside that heard the wind, saw the fire. See, this wasn't just these guys in the upper room. The people outside heard and saw the wind and the fire and heard these people talking to them that were from other countries in their own language and explaining to them Jesus Christ. So you see, the power of the Spirit speaking in tongues is for a declaration of worship to God and and it talks about it for us to, it's our prayer language to God for ourselves. And if it is happens in an assembly, it is for the edification of the assembly so that someone interprets and, you know, and people who are lost can believe and things like that. But the Holy Spirit spoke through them and they began to speak in other tongues. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem devout men of every nation. And so they heard these things, they saw these things. But most importantly, the people who were filled began to understand what Jesus had been teaching them. You see, when we begin to understand what Jesus is teaching us about our life, that's the Holy Spirit working in your life. That's the Holy Spirit working in us. You see, that's why we don't have to have brainwashing, you know, the cults and all that other stuff. You have to believe this, you have to believe that. You know. No, there is the teaching of the Word, and then there is the work of the Spirit to help us understand and make application of the divine Word to our human life. That's the working of the Spirit. Then, after all of this, going on for how long, don't know, but there's a crowd out there. Peter goes out, and he starts preaching. Every other time Peter speaks up, he ends up with both feet in his mouth, and, you know, somebody has to come and bail him out. Not this time, because the truth of the Spirit spoke through him, and he began to be the first leader of the early church, and that's Peter. And verse 37, and when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? The Holy Spirit brings this kind of like, oh, I need more of God. There was not a pushing away of the lost. It was a pricking in their consciousness and in their heart that says, what do we do now to receive God? The work of the Holy Spirit helps us to be receptive receivers to the work that God wants to do in our life. So whenever we ask ourselves, what shall we do now? That's a good question. It's not, what am I going to think of next? What does God want me to do now? And that's the Holy Spirit speaking to us. And give yourself time for that answer to come to your heart. What shall we do now? And see, that's how the Holy Spirit was working on the day of Pentecost and working with the early church and with the disciples and winning the lost and solidifying the followers of Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit is doing all of that in us and through us right here and now. The Holy Spirit does that work in our life. Amen? Jesus, we thank you that you have sent your Spirit to be with us. You teach us the things that we don't know. You teach us the deep things of your Word. God, the consciousness of you, the pricking of our heart, is only to bring us closer and to answer those questions of what shall we do. Lord, you come to us with your Word and answer those questions. Thank you, Lord, for you, the Holy Spirit. Amen.